Good evening, you snowbound United States of America on the East Coast, the Mid-Atlantic states, the New England states, and everywhere around here. We got a blizzard because they've been telling us about it. Because you about ready? Because here we go, and I'm about ready. This is Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com, coming to you on Tuesday evenings, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, with your hour of power before you shower, empowering you to reach the top of your tower. That's what we're about here. We're about empowerment. And empowerment means you are no longer enabled. When you're enabled, everyone's doing everything for you, or someone's doing everything for you. Whether it's making your bed, fixing your lunch. I don't know how you fix lunch. It's not broken. Making your lunch, taking out the trash, doing your laundry, whatever it is. If you're not doing those simple little things in life yourself, you is not empowered. You is still enabled, and you're going to be looking for that the rest of your life. Step out of yourself. Step into the world of empowerment. Do it for yourself. You'll feel better. And you know, I learned this a long time ago. Everybody hates cleaning and so forth, except the neat freaks out there. And so I lived in an apartment and stuff was scattered. I was single, living by myself, you know, popcorn all over the floor and all. But when I cleaned the place on Saturday, I went out all day and I cleaned it in the morning. I went out all day playing ball, going shopping, picking up whatever I needed just to make it through the next week, because I worked almost all the time when I wasn't playing ball. And I came home Saturday night, 7, 8, 9, 10 o'clock, whatever it was, and it was fresh in there. It was my work and I felt good about it. I empowered myself, right? And that goes a long way, because today with this, you know, we watch the news and the weather and the advisories and the watches and the warnings are out. So I was advised and warned that eventually I and you will be watching the snow, and all the communications majors out there on the streets telling us to stay in, stay off the roads as they patrol and troll the area, reporting with live pictures of snow coming down. And, of course, the plow guys out there working through the night, getting an interview here and there, maybe a cup of coffee or hot chocolate or something to keep them going, because they do put the work out, and that's a hard job. If you shovel snow by hand, you know what they're going through. I don't know how they do. I don't know how they see the plow itself out front in front of them and how to lower it and raise it and not, you know, rip the street apart and so forth. So they're real professional people. And a big shout out to them, because they do keep us mobile once the snow gets under control and out of town. Actually, they're out. The reporters are out there, as I said, patrolling and trolling, looking for the next or trying to invent something to talk about and create and deliver the next breaking news exclusive story that is really not news at all. They just make it a story. I.e., how about that example? I think that's Latin. Or do I know Latin? I don't know Latin. Illegitimus non carborunda is the only Latin I know. And don't let the bastard win, whoever the bastard is. The same creation of stories just happened. I have to get this in before we get to critical thinking, because it's on my mind. I don't want to dwell on it. Like, the media is out there. It's all over social media. By the way, there is no such thing as social media. It's almost oxymoronic, but media, I don't know what that is. It's unsocial, because when you're social with somebody, you meet them, you see them face to face. Maybe you shake hands, give them a tap, a pound, a dap, a high five, a low five, do some kind of handshake or greeting or a hug, combination handshake, shoulder bump, chest bump, pound. I don't know, but that's being social, right? That's being social, not texting and electronically communicating through the rectangular black brainwashing machines, as we have so many of them all over the place. The news story that they're out there making is, of course, the football player who got interviewed after he just miraculously did some kind of gyrations with his body to tip the ball away from the intended receiver that could have been a game-winning touchdown for the, who was it? San Francisco, I guess. Maybe. I watch the games, and sometimes I forget when my kids aren't around. I can't keep track of that stuff. That's why I can't go to the movies with my wife or kids, because I always have to ask them to interpret for me. I'm kind of slow. In fact, I'm so slow I have to speed up to stop. But anyway, this kid makes a tremendous play for his team. He taps the ball. One of his teammates intercepts it in the end zone. The clock runs out. They win the game. I think it was a come-from-behind victory. Now, yes, there's controversy in everything. On every play, there's holding. On every play, there's breaking violation of the rules. But you can't call everything. just dissect it. And I don't want to go through that. But what happened was this kid was interviewed, Richard Sherman. He was interviewed by the On-Field Reporter, another communications major. No disrespect to those folks out there. But you know what? These guys need time to wind down. Not everybody is cool, calm, and collective like Katie Winter selling her ice blue underarm deodorant, whatever, Secret, I think it was called, a generation ago. No, they're full of rage. They are loaded. They are pumped. They are excited. The guy just made a tremendous play his whole life. He probably lay in bed dreaming about that, like the little 8-year-old dreaming about making the shot at the buzzer, hitting a home run with the bases low, whatever it is. This kid lived his dream. And he gets on TV and he does a little maybe overzealous commentary about what just happened and all. And who cares? Let it go. You know, when we were coaching Little League sports, we were told that you need that 20, if there's an issue or concern, a problem with the referees, other parents, whatever it is, you have a 24-hour cool-down period. The games are usually Sunday. And by Monday, everybody forgot it. There were no phone calls, no grievances, no incident reports, none of that stuff. You walk away from it. But we have to get right into these guys' faces, these kids. Remember, they're kids, 25, 24 years old, and in college, they're 18, 19 years old, freshmen, and they're right in your face with this microphone saying, what was going through your mind? Hell, I don't know what was going through my mind. I was just trying to make the play. I practiced my whole life for this day. I was there to do it, and I did it. I got lucky. I could have gone the other way. Could have tipped, and the guy could have caught it, like happened in several college games this year, Auburn being the case. In the game, I think, against Georgia, two defenders tapped the ball. Auburn kid caught it, got the touchdown. They won the game. And that was miraculous. Auburn was spectacular this year, and I hope they do just as well, if not better, next year. But the point is, you can't go to these guys. Not everybody can just sit there and address these questions. They have a tough enough time getting to the scripted, almost rehearsed responses that they have to provide by, I guess, league contract or sponsor contract or performance contracts that say, what was going through your mind by this reporter on the sidelines, many of whom are not maybe former competitive athletes at that kind of level. These guys train behind the scenes year-round, punishing and putting their bodies, their minds, and their souls and their hearts into what they do. And very few get to the position where this young kid was the other day. And now he's being badgered, harassed, ridiculed for saying what was on his mind, for not coming out with the cliche. We'll get to the cliche soon. Without the standard or the predictable response. Well, you know, my team did this and the coach did that. We got this. But no, he went off from his heart. How can you deny someone who's speaking from his heart? Yes, emotions were running high that day. Yes, he was intense. Yes, he was passionate. Well, if you're a coach, if I'm a coach, I want kids like that. That's who wins games. Not all the time, but in this particular case, that's what happened. And now the social media is blowing it up like the weather people, blowing up all these storms that are creating shortages of toilet paper, bread, and milk at the supermarkets, blowing it all up because they need to create a story to fill time. It's a non-story. Let the kid go home. Let him have his time. Let him prepare for the next game. And who knows? Maybe he'll be the target of the other team's quarterback trying to put him down. And I hope he can stand up to that and excels, because that's the test of courage. That's how you win, by performing beyond anyone's expectations or imaginations and accomplishing more than you ever thought possible. That is empowerment. And a little bit of luck went a long way. But he was there, he made the play, and good for him. But let's keep the media out of this stuff. These guys, they should go in the line, and even the coaches, you know, in between halftime in any of these sports, they go up to the coach, coach, what do you have to do? Coach, how to do that? No, man, leave the guy alone. I know there's contractual obligations, I'm sure. That's for the ratings to sell more T-shirts and jerseys and equipment. That's fine, that's business. But when you're in do you want to do that to your doctor? You want someone coming in interviewing your dentist as he gouging out your tonsils and your tongue and your teeth? You want your foot doctor to be distracted by someone who's got that cortisone needle ready to put in your toe? No, you don't want that. Professional people deserve professional courtesy and some dignity and some space. These guys have to get off the field. They can celebrate with themselves, amongst themselves, and congratulate each other team to team. They don't have to get hostile. It's the people that make them that way. Because, folks, we have no lives. Our lives are lived vicariously through these highly gifted, talented, skilled, disciplined, athletic performers. Go to the stadium, see who's there. It's all the white folks watching the black folks perform, and they love it. And everybody should be happy, right? It's not a race thing. If you want to see a good example of race, go to YouTube somehow and be one of the million hits that that cop got for stopping in the neighborhood and seeing a little kid playing with a football tossed in the air, and he gave the kid the signal, hey, throw me the ball. And the kid threw him the ball. They played catch for a few minutes. Then everybody went along their way. Well, somebody photographed it. It got out there. And these two guys are heroes. And that's what it's about. That's race. That's not race related. Forget it. It's people relation. It's human. That's what you should do. The kid was looking for somebody to play with. Why? Because all the other kids were probably overbooked doing stuff or in front of the black brainwashing box, clicking and Xboxing and all that. I want to play with somebody. That's what kids are there to do. Can you give the kid a break? So this cop comes in and he does a great thing. Right, and I hope, and they blew it up on media, but it certainly didn't get any attention that Richard Sherman got or any guys like him. And by the way, if you have a kid who wants to be an athlete, who has ambitions of that, right? Have that person watch. Have your kid watch people like Carrie Strug, the Olympic girl who broke her foot and ran the length of the vault, hit her mark, did her thing, and got the gold medal. Had to be picked up by the coach and carried off. Watch it on YouTube, right? Watch Kirk Gibson limp. In fact, that was an interesting night in that Dodger game. We were watching, my wife and I, Mara, I said, you know, he can hardly run. We were told of his injuries and all. My wife said, he's going to hit one out of the park. And I think it was the first or second pitch. Boom, there it goes. And I gave her a big hug and a kiss because that is empowerment. That is resiliency. That is a role model. These folks are role models for what they do in public, on the field of play, in competition. I don't know what they're like as people. We don't want to go there. Because I would say if you have a kid who wants to be a baseball player, have him watch and play like Pete Rose and Dennis Rodman in basketball. Just talent and hustle, hustle, hustle. Never giving up. Never backing down. Just going the extra mile all the time. As people, I don't know. I don't know anything about him. Rodman's been in the news lately, and Rose signs autographs, hustles autographs outside a casino in Vegas. But those are the kind of people you want to role model for performance sakes, not of the people who they are. So leave Richard Sherman alone. Let him go. Let him have his day and move on with it. But these guys should be on the field, get off the field, go in the locker room, cool down, shower up, clean up, get dressed, have something to eat, something to drink, relax a little, maybe see their family, maybe make some calls, text message, because they're social media folks too, and then interview them, and you'll have a better product. They'll be more down to earth because they're coming up from a high. You know, the high, the brain secretes the endorphins, I guess, and when you reach that biological, physiological point of release, it's as good as doing anything else physically with someone else in your arms, wrapped around, entwined. That's the kind of high that they get. And they love it. And so do you. And so do I. Well, even without the blue little pill, right? So leave these folks alone. Let them have their time and space. And let's not shove a microphone in there asking those stupid, inane, ridiculous, repetitive, redundant, overused, abused cliches. What was going through? Yeah, what were you thinking? Forget that stuff. How about coming up something creative? I don't know. I didn't go to communication school. I didn't write those things. But let the experts do that. We didn't have ball tonight, right? Why? Snowstorm had all the warnings. The red and the purple and the blue and all those colors were on the map scaring everybody. So they shut the schools midday, sent everybody home. So Tuesday night's game night canceled. So what did I do today? I went back to a time where a role model for me said, hey, it's just snow. I'm getting to work. And that my dad walked to work, walked 3 miles to the bus. The buses were running in Philadelphia. And the reason the buses run and the snow was removed and the trash was taken and there was no strikes that had to be averted at 11th during the 11th hour, which I guess is midnight, I don't know, when the contract expired, is because the machine that ran the town, and maybe other cities like it, took $3 in your tax money, but they put $2 back in the city. They kept a buck for themselves to take care of business. And part of the business was whatever was going on to make the city run efficiently. No one missed that dollar, even back in the 50s and 60s after the war, when a dollar was maybe it was like $100 today. But now they just steal your, or confiscate your money, sorry, with representation, and it's not much better than taxation without representation. But I walked, my dad walked to work, and I figured, well, let me walk to work. I'm about 5 miles away as the crow flies, maybe it's 4, through the woods. I left this morning at 6 o'clock. I've been up since 4:30. I'm tired. I said, geez, I got to do the show tonight. But you know what? I got pumped. I got motivated. I got inspired. I became empowered again. How did I do that? Two things get me going. Music. I got my big 4 songs. Used to be the big 3. Now we added another one. And if you want to know it, it's Michael McDonald and James Ingram singing Yamo Be There in a duet with passion. And I'm grinding and bumping and shaking and baking and whatever you want to call it down here, getting charged and ready to go. So music gets me going. Music makes me lose control, right? And you just love that. You let your body go. It's like singing in the shower. No one's around to ridicule you, hush you, and you're not embarrassing anyone. Music does that. And watching sports. When I watch sports, I want to go out and play. And I still do that. We'll talk about more about that when we get to the boredom section. The enemy of us all. And we have things to do to fight boredom, the enemy of us all. So I walked to work knowing, based on the weather report, that there wouldn't be any ball tonight. So I got my workout in. And it was pretty dry at 6 in the morning. The snow didn't start till about 8. And by the time I left work at 5, it was coming down pretty good. There was about 8 or 10 inches on the ground. And I trudged through. I labored home. I got home, took a hot shower, had a little bite to eat, and got ready for the show tonight. You can do that when you're empowered. Because you don't think of the negative things like, oh, well, I have to do that. Oh, my goodness, I hate doing that. No, you just think of the positive things that come out of doing something that maybe other people aren't doing, right? Maybe other people aren't doing that. And so you do it, you feel good about yourself, like you do when you clean up your place where you live. You did it. You are empowered. So those are examples of empowerment. Because it's hard to define and explain. It's almost like spirituality. I did get pumped up music about 7 or 8 years ago. I was coaching our son's youth basketball team, just a rec town league. It was great. And for some reason, we got into the playoff, into the tournament. We were like the last in the list to get in, and we beat the, I think it was a 3-game tournament. We beat the, we were 6. We beat the 5th team, the 3rd team, and we had to play the number 1 team for the championship. And this was a they had the best player in the league on that team. They had 3 or 4 very tall guys. We had one. We did have one shooter, one sort of shooter. We had a couple of 3 or 4 scrappy kids. We had one kid who could pass well and handle the ball. So we had a good combination, but we were outsized, outmanned, and out-talented. Well, somehow, and I had a neighborhood kid who loved basketball, who I knew through the family, and I said, why don't you come help coach whenever you're available? He was in high school, and he had stuff to do because he was busy at his high school, but he would come to practice, and I'd let him run practice, right? And he had a great time. He loved it. His mother called my wife, said, oh, he's having such a good time. So come championship game, he arrived midway through the first period. I said, okay, here we go. I got him here. You got to take him to the promised land because X's and O's I can't do. I'm not that smart. I can lead, inspire, direct, and motivate. That's where I'm strong. But calling, making plays and all that stuff, I was very limited. But this kid came in, and we got into a couple of critical situations, and he called some plays, out-of-bounds plays, and we got baskets. And I was harping on the defense, defense, defense. And that's what they did. They shut down the big guy, and they shut down the best player, our guys did. And there was about 20 seconds left. We scored a basket. We took it. We had a 1-point lead. Then there was about 12 seconds ago. Other team called timeout. They made a play. I told our kids, just play strong defense. The way, stay in their face. Shut them down. Whatever you have to do. And the kid who was helping me said the same thing. We're on defense now. Play your game and stop the ball. Stop panic. Whatever it is. Well, the other team got in. They had a shot. Bounced off the rim. They had a rebound. Bounced off the rim. They got a second rebound. Bounced off the rim. By the time the fourth put back attempt occurred, the buzzer went off, we won by 1 point, we won the championship. From worst to first, that's where we went. luck of the draw, just like this kid, Richard Sherman. No one was in my face with a microphone. I don't care. It's this little neighborhood ball. But I did have a parents' meeting and told them how proud I was of the kids. And in fact, that the kid was helping us was a great thing for him. Let's make a long story longer. This kid ended up writing his college essay entrance, to get accepted to school about that basketball experience. I felt great. Give a kid an opportunity, right? It's not mine. It's about the kids. That's what it's about. In fact, kids need to play, and they don't play enough because everything else is organized and structured and goodie bagged and uniformed and pictures and all stuff. The game is almost secondary. And who's got the snacks? That's the most important thing. Hey, parents, kids don't need snacks. They eat enough crap. Look at them, right? Just stay away from the buffet. We're too fat and obese. Let's do something about it. And you can do that very simply. 30 minutes a day, get some comfortable clothes. Hey, even in the snow, put yourself out there because no one else is. Why don't you get out now if you're in the area where the snow is? It's tapering down a little bit off. It's 9:30 Eastern time. You can get out and do something for yourself to help you make yourself feel good about yourself. All right. Critical thinking. Oh, my goodness. We forgot all about it. We didn't forget. We just delay things here. They eventually, everything sells. Eventually, we get to everything on You About Ready with Marty Ford live on BBSRadio.com. Tuesdays, 9 p.m. Eastern time zone. If you want to call in to talk to Doug the Love Bug, 888-627-6008. Doug will connect you with me, 888-627-6008. If you want to send me an email, I'm open to that. I'll respond to all emails promptly because that's what you do according to the communications majors who learned that in college. If you ever had a job when you were a kid, you learned how to respond quickly called customer service. Talked about that before. The email is hamp, H-A-M-P, 73@gmail.com. Hamp, 73@gmail.com. Last week's critical thinking was a person rides into town on Friday, stays 3 days, leaves on Friday. How do you explain that? One more time. A person rides into town on Friday, stays 3 days, leaves on Friday. Well, how do you explain that? The horse's name is Friday. I didn't say a person rides into town on a Friday, on a Friday, and leaves on a Friday. I didn't put that little interjection. What is the word A? Conjunction or interjection? Somebody call in, some of you grammarians. So the person rides into town on Friday, stays 3 days, leaves on Friday. How do you explain it? The horse's name is Friday. He rode in on the horse named Friday and out of town on Friday. This week's critical thinking question or brain buster is, what does everyone leave behind when they exit the beach? When you go home from the beach, what do you leave behind? In fact, everyone does, right? We'll give you the answer next week on You About Ready, live with Marty Ford, 9 p.m. Eastern Time on bbsradio.com. This week's cliche, we're going to add to the list, and the list keeps growing. We have a few this week. Previous weeks, we'll go over a bunch of them now just to remind you. We have bring to the table, utilize, impact, hell-bent, same page, transparency. Never has so many things been obfuscated as in a transparent society. My favorite, at the end of the day, it's almost like automatic, this stuff. Amazing, everything is amazing on a level playing field. Handcrafted, hand-dipped, critical mass, non-religious. And, of course, our favorite one, all in. And we mentioned a little brew pill, which helps a lot of people get all in. But that's not what we're talking about. It's a family-type show. Once in a while, we go to Racy, but not too often. So cliches take the place of critical thinking. And if you're critically thinking, you don't have time to use a cliche because you won't allow yourself to be a me too person. Oh, you having a hamburger? Yeah, me too. You wearing a blue shirt? Oh, yeah, me too. You won't do that. You'll go out of your way. You'll delay your response to try to think of something more creative, more exact, maybe more appropriate for the conversation than just the falling into the slums of cliches. So this week we want to add real time. It happened in real time. I don't know what fake time is. Real time. It's now. It's in the here and now. That was a book I read in college. What is real time? Why do we have to say real time? It's like a true freshman. A freshman is a freshman. So they have to delineate and define each form of freshman. like a 60-year senior or something. I don't know. But real time. We're doing it. This show is happening in real time. When you download future, if you want to download in the future any of the previous shows, you go to www.bbsradio.com/YouBoutReady, YouBoutReady. And you can download any of my previous shows and hopefully listen, laugh, and learn something about what we're doing here, which is all basically about you becoming empowered and accomplishing more than you ever thought possible by becoming the best you are. Here's another one. Pull the trigger. Bang! You know, Mike Breen does the basketball games, NBA basketball games, and I loved watching. My son was into it, and in a tight, close game, especially on a Friday night in the winter when it's dark and cold outside, we're watching a great game, Bulls Heat, Celtics Sixers, whatever these rivalries are, and it's a close game, and a couple guys put up three-pointers. They go in, Mike Breen said, bang! And I read something where they're not allowed to do that. And the players, you know, they have all these gyrations that they do after they make a good shot. And one of them was to, like, pretend that they were firing a gun with their fingers or putting their gun in their holster, and they can't do that anymore. So censorship has almost taken away pull the trigger because it has negative connotations, especially in today's crazy, whacked-out world, right? Guns are not the problem, folks. People are. Get the guns out of the hands of the people who really don't belong in mainstream society. Maybe, like I said before, we should empty the jails of the marijuana people, because that's legal now in some places. Although the price, I heard, is going up in California, like the stock market. But let's empty the jails of those folks who are basically harmless. You know, few hits on a marijuana cigarette. Some Malamars, and they're good to go, right? Good to go. There's another cliche. Is that tonight? Good to go is one of our cliches, right? A good to go goes along with go-to guy. If you're a good to go, go-to guy, you've doubled down. There's another cliche, doubling down. Comes in from the World Poker Tour, where everybody wants to go all in and show what kind of stuff they're made of. Good to go. So you can be a good to go guy or a good guy to go to. I don't know. Whichever way you want to phrase it, it's become part of mainstream profanity, as I like to call it, because that's what it is. You're a go-to guy, right? Got it, like that guy who said, got it, on the email that shut down the bridge. By the way, speaking of the bridge and all other scandals out there, all we want, very simply, in government, corporate, business, nonprofit, schools, whatever it is, all we want is someone to be held accountable someday. And hopefully that someday is in the here and now, which I mentioned before, which is another cliche. So we want them to do a couple things. If you're in a position, a fiduciary respondent, not a douche, a fiduciary respondent, responsibility type position, we'd like you to spend the money like it was your own, because it's ours and we give it to you. We're trusting in your environment. And the lack of trust in leadership is one of the three great things that causes society to fail. One is the lack of respect for what comes out of our mouths, especially cliches and other forms of profanity. Two is the gap between the haves and the have-nots, which is getting greater and greater. And three is a lack of trust in leadership, wherever the leadership is. We have another case of that that just happened, and I have to look for it as I'm talking to you. But somebody embezzled money, and it's not good. It's another scandal. And some senator, and I'm not going to waste time looking for it. It's here somewhere. But anyway, we want you to spend the money like it was your own. If you spend it like it was your own, we can trust in you, because we know you'll be safe with it, and you won't have accounting irregularities or misappropriate or misspeak or anything else that's missing, like ethics, that gets in the way. So that's a way we want to go. We want people. And the other thing we want for you to do is to tell the truth. A scandal wouldn't be a scandal if people told the truth. First time out, without committees, subcommittees, whatever else they call those get-togethers, gatherings of in-the-know folks who have experience in scandals. That's a great resume builder. I have experience in solving scandals, right? I'm sorry for saying that's almost a cliche. But you want the truth. And all these things could be easily solved and resolved if people would tell the truth. It's plain and simple. We want our kids to be truthful with us. And when we catch them not telling the truth, we certainly want to sort of discipline them, not by giving them a pizza party or a goodie bag, but maybe taking away a privilege or a time out or something to make them understand that we need the truth. One of those philosophers, you know, a million years ago said, all I'm looking for is the truth, an honest person. Well, I don't know if that's an oxymoron or not, an honest person. Can we be honest? You'd like to think we are, you know, and we've all made mistakes, right? Nixon, if he told the truth, would have been reelected, right? But the scandal just excelled and brewed and just blew up in his face, resulting in his resignation, and there's probably more like that to come. So if we can get our leadership to set examples and be role models for our kids by telling the truth and admitting and coming clean when they don't and being held accountable and responsible and have consequences for not being truthful and honest, then we have a culture and a society that can function. Then we have leadership. Then we have become empowered. We're not using language to hide behind our lies and our misspeakings and everything else, being misled. We're not doing that, right? So much for that. I'm saying so too much tonight. So much for that. Tidbit of useless information. Last week we had a great soliloquy about the 11-year-old Pope. This one's kind of simple. Did you know a snail can sleep for 3 years? I don't know who watches a snail sleep for 3 years, how much time you have on your hands, if you can do that. But certainly it doesn't happen in France because they eat them over there, right? So I read something. Geez, I'm saying so a lot. Will someone call up and correct me? I need like a fourth grade teacher. I read another research report, I'm sure was funded with our tax dollars. And it's probably a former led by a former politician, his family and friends and supporters needing another government handout because they are not qualified for work and probably got voted out of office. But there's a new 1,000-page document telling us, informing us, educating us, making us aware that smoking is harmful, dangerous, and deadly and can lead to other illnesses and diseases, right? That just came out last week. 1,000 pages to tell you that. All you have to do is read a pack of cigarettes. I think, does that Surgeon General report still appear on there that it's dangerous to smoke cigarettes, right? I smoked for a little bit, and then what happened was my fingers turned yellow from the, I guess, nicotine or the tar or whatever, and every time I go to pick my nose, I would smell tobacco, and it was disgusting, so I stopped. Plus, cigarettes used to be like 25 cents a pack way back, and then they went to 30 cents. Now, I didn't mind flipping a quarter on the glass countertop to be cool as a teenager, to get my pack of cigarettes and pack it down, stick it in my shirt pocket or my sleeve, like all the cool guys. In fact, the cool guys really smoke cool cigarettes. That's how they were born. But when it went to 30 cents, I wasn't diving in for that extra nickel. I said, that's mine. I work too hard. Like Donna Summer, I work hard for my money, right? I'm not giving it away. Words of wisdom. We mentioned it before, to stay away from the buffet because you don't need a 10,000-page document like Obamacare. You don't need a 1,000-page document like this smoking is dangerous and harmful and leads to other things to tell you that being overweight, obese, and inactive is not good for you. You got to get up, get out, and get going. We got to do that with our kids because they're falling into that themselves. They're not getting up, getting out, getting going. They're sitting, playing, clicking, eating, sleeping, sitting, playing, clicking, eating, sleeping. Too much inactivity. Get the kids out. If you get out and do stuff, and I'm not saying you're going to be like crazy like me because I like to be out there, and I could probably lose about 40 pounds and it would be helpful. But when we teach our kids good things, maybe they'll do the same. If they pick up all our bad habits, it's just as easy to pick up the good habits that are healthy, you know, lifelong games. The best thing we can do for kids and to empower them is teach them how to play chess in third grade. All the things they learn from chess, strategy, planning, maneuvers, thinking, those are great life skills to carry over into becoming empowered rather than enabled, right? So go for good things for your kids and yourself. They'll be happy and you'll be happy. Did you know that all vets are mentally ill and government should prevent them from owning firearms? All vets are ill. I thought that just came out of the Vietnam War when all the TV shows portrayed veterans as crazed snipers in a tower shooting up towns and people. Now, I think she's a senator from California. Dianne Feinstein, whose husband has all kinds of business dealings that he gets no bid contracts all. We talked about that once. But she said all vets are mentally ill and government should prevent them from owning firearms. Now, the U.S. senators that voted to cut the pensions of military veterans is 67. 67 of those folks decided, hey, the vets served their time. They made some money while they were in. Maybe picked up stuff, including diseases that we're not taking care of. So let's just cut their pensions. We're not going to cut my pension. In fact, we're going to vote ourselves a pension raise because we don't have to be accountable to anyone. But the people who serve the country to make it possible for us to do what we do, for me to play basketball, for the kids to go to school, to hopefully have a safe place, although there's college shooting today at Purdue. There was one last week in, I think, New Mexico at a school, a young kid's school. There's crazies out there. We got to get the guns out of the people because those are the ones doing the damage, right? 14-year-olds in certain part of the country can fire weapons better than anybody who's trained as an adult. Why? They've been doing it since they're five. They can probably break down the gun and put it back together, clean it, and store it properly. They respect it, just like they do vehicles, driving tractors and combines probably on the farms, some of these kids, because they're given and taught responsibility. They're given instruction on how to care for things and respect it. And when you respect something else, you know what you're showing? Respect for yourself. The ones who disrespect everything, feel miserable about themselves, the bullies, right, who they are, and anyone who tells you they're not a bully is usually a bully. It's like someone says, let me be honest with you, or let me be perfectly honest with you. Well, the flag should go up and say, what have you been telling me up to now? If you're going to punctuate it by saying right now, I'm going to be honest with you, what were you 5 minutes ago, dishonest? So 67 senators voted to cut the pensions of U.S. military veterans. How sad is that? The people who make it possible and sacrifice their lives, put it on the line out there all the time, while everybody else sits in their private schools with drivers and housekeepers and cotillions and formal affairs and linen tablecloths and silverware and no ketchup bottle on the table. Well, they do that. Everybody else, not everybody, the people serving are eating MREs if they're lucky and a bottle of water that's ready to explode because it's too hot over there. And I don't know what they're doing. You know, I did know, I met a guy who said, because, you know, military folks, when they're overseas, I was in the Philippines and Southeast Asia for 3 years, other countries. There's a lot of forms, ways of getting relief from the rigors and stress and being away from home. And it's very inexpensive. Well, I talked to a kid who came back from the desert area. I said, what are you guys doing over there? There's no social life. There's very few forms of entertainment, enlightenment, release, whatever you want to call it, with or without the blue pill. You don't need it. You're young. He said, well, the kid told me, he said, somebody had a book, sort of like a storybook. No pictures, just words telling a story about the pollination of people throughout a community and what was going on physically, biologically, activity-wise. He said a page was selling for $10, and the book was about 150 pages. $10 a page. So a guy had the book. He read a page, ripped it out front and back, sold it to his buddy for $10, and they're buying it. They was waiting in line to get it because there's no form of social interaction over there. Yeah, they have social media, but, you know, you need one-to-one contact sometime. Little physical pounding of the flesh. There's nothing wrong with that. It's human nature. Watch the animals on National Geographic or Animal Planet. They're doing it right in front of you. And then they eat each other. I mean, to the end. It's wild. So anyway, if you want to do something good for the vets, go to my website, www.connectwithveterans.com. www.connectwithveterans.com. It is a place where veterans and anyone else who wants to do it for a veteran can register their name and when they served, what branch of service, all the other pertinent information. And there's a fee of $25 with a $10 renewal fee every year. And the money helps pay for the website. But more importantly, the majority of the money, probably up to 90-95% of the money, goes to deserving vets and their families. That's the goal of the website. We're nowhere near it yet, but we need the numbers to build as far as registrations. So help a vet, tell a vet, sign up a vet from any war, going back to as far as there it can, will help find their buddies, because sometimes they just need to be with themselves. Therapy and medication doesn't work. We know that, but we keep throwing it at it because we have nothing else. Sometimes the guys just need to be with the guys, and the ladies too, right? The buddies, the ones you served with, the one with blood, sweat, tears, and fears, away from home, lonely, lonesome, etc., etc., homesick, scared. And you want to relive those memories, right, with each other and have a life for yourself with your buddies. Geographically, it doesn't matter. You can be all over the country. I've met a few buddies. It's fantastic. We exchange social media sometimes, and I've even met one or two. It's great, in person, 40 years ago. Let's make it happen for our vets. Forget what they're cutting the pensions of our vets. This is a small investment, $25, $10 renewal fee. Boom, it goes back to the vets. Not like, oh, I got something good for you here, the Girl Scouts. Now, the doorbell rang the other day, and the Girl Scouts, I don't know if she's early or what, came to the door. I was unprepared. I was on the phone. I was doing some work, and I couldn't make a purchase. And usually my wife handles that stuff. And I just read where the Girl Scouts, now, they're selling their cookies. I don't know how much they are this year. I remember them as $3 or $4 a box. And I think only about 80 cents of each purchase at the time that I found out about it many years ago goes back to the Girl Scout troop, I think it's called, the girls and the den mothers, right? And I was wondering, where the hell's the other money go? And I just read somewhere that the Girl Scout home offices are on Fifth Avenue, New York City. 420 Fifth Avenue, New York City. 420, symbolically, is a very important day for many of the people who are in jail on marijuana charges who'd like to be out of jail, so we put the wackos and psychos in there to get them off the streets to make it safe for you to send your kids to the park so they can play with minimum, if any, supervision. They can learn on their own. They can settle their differences. They can learn organization and management and conflict resolution. And yeah, they might get in a little push and shoving match one time, but that's part of growing up. That's being a kid, right? Let them do that. So the Girl Scouts, they just bought a building a few years ago, 171,000 square feet, and I think 3,000 in the basement. Guess how much they paid for it? $24 million. That's one heck of a lot of cookies. That's a lot of cookies at $3 or $4 a box. And I don't know where all that money goes beyond the real estate. You know, you probably have limousines and private jets and $40 shrimp like the Department of Justice out in Vegas. So let's follow the paper trail. One of you communications majors out there, delve into this. This is like doing a term paper for you guys. You love this crap. All I'm doing is giving you a little feed, a little motivation maybe. Because I don't know how to do it. I'm too old and too stupid to do that stuff. So go out there and do it. Remember, a couple of important things. It's not good to eat or drink on an empty stomach. No good. Don't do it. And if you're like me, you never remember anything you forget. And you never forget anything you remember. Words of wisdom coming to you from Marty Ford live on bbsradio.com. Live Tuesday nights. On bbsradio.com, Eastern Time Zone. When you're feeling low, invest in yourself and you'll grow. Along the way, you may stub your toe. That's okay and to be expected. Take it seriously. Don't reject it. Build a total you. Head, heart, body, mind, spirit, soul. You'll be in control. Once you get going, you'll need some butter because you will be on a roll. Now, we're going on to empowerment. Right? I talked about it a little bit. The way to empower kids, I said, one of the ways to start very young, like everything, is to let them play chess. Critical thinking, strategy, planning, maneuvers, patience. How about that? Patience. And they don't have to learn how to play with that thing, that timer that the more professional people play. Let the kids grow into that. Let them learn patience. It'll go a long way. So when you're empowered, you have many things going for you to build your empowerment. You start with your center. We talked about health, family, and friends. Now you have to work. even if you don't need the money, which very few of us need, don't, we all need money, work gives you a reason to get up in the morning and a place to go. The unstructured life is not worth living. Work provides a vehicle with which you can produce, socialize, in-person contact with people, and achieve. Retirement is a four-letter word, even though it's more than four letters, but it's a nasty word. Many people retire, sit in a chair, and they're gone in 6 months. Why? Because they stop being. They stop doing. They have no purpose. No one knows they're around. Their social network is shut off. So you have to maintain activity. You got to get up, get out, and get going, right? Keep your mind active. It needs to be challenged, tested, and pushed. It will tell you when it's time to rest. Your body tells you when to sleep, when you eat, when to take care of your personal business, and when to do all the things that make up your center, yourself, your soul. With an active mind comes an active heart and an active belly. And the big three, head, heart, and belly, your gut, working in harmony, can achieve anything and everything and allow you, permit you, to accomplish more than you ever thought possible. Fun. You got to get silly. Remember the things you did when you were a kid. Playgrounds, beaches, parades, costumes, ice cream, splashing, face painting, biking, or any appropriate thing to do that is silly, dirty, goofy, and fun. When I grew up, I want to be a kid, right? And I am sort of grown up chronologically, not mentally, but I'm still a kid. I retain a microscopic molecule percentage of my world that I give myself permission to be a kid, whatever that is. Walking in the snow to work. Right? Kids play. I saw kids when I was coming home. What are they doing? They're sliding down on their sleds or whatever else they have. They're rolling in the snow. They're making a snowman. Some kids were cool. Older kids, maybe high school kids. They had shovels, and I yelled over to them, "If you knock on the door, you'll get some business." He said, "That's what we're doing, and you're making a few bucks." Nothing wrong with that. These are empowered kids. It's okay to get a little bit crazy. Having fun keeps you from going insane. And besides, it's just a state of mind, right? That's all it is. It's a state of mind. Hobbies. You got to have hobbies. You got to keep something in your world that is yours. You can do it. There's a million of them. I just listed a few right here. The stamp or coin collecting, model trains, painting, music, quilt clubs, cooking, reading, gardening, cars, or any other appropriate hobby that gives you pleasure, enjoyment, and fun. A lot of times what you did as a kid are those things, the things that gave you fun and pleasure, whatever it is. And we'll go. I've listed some in the boredom segment that we'll get to hopefully in a few minutes, because we'll go down. There's several more items that I'll get to, a few more, and then we'll come back next week. Sports. Being a spectator is fine. It can even be a hobby. However, there is nothing like participating. Spectating can lead to participating. There's archery and bowling and baseball and basketball and golf and hockey and swimming and chess and cards and tennis and hiking and biking and rollerblading, skating and squash, badminton, fishing, aerobics, karate, gymnastics, walking, or any other appropriate activity in which you choose to participate. Unless there's physical restraints, and the only one who puts those on you is you, because there's people out there running around with robotic legs and limbs. Kerry Strug, as I mentioned before, ran the length of that vault, hit her spot with a broken foot, and the world cried, as I did, as I do every time I watch that kid perform. I don't know what she's doing now. I hope her foot's recovered. It was many years ago. She's a role model. And these are all things that I mentioned. Many of them are what they call lifetime carryover sports. Certainly, you can bowl for a long time or play tennis. In our neighborhood, there's a Saturday gathering of mostly people a little older than me. I'm 63. And they're out there playing tennis for 2 or 3 hours. You know, mixed doubles, doubles, singles, whatever it is. As long as your body holds up, you can hike or bike. And swimming is a great form of exercise. And some of these are a bit more strenuous, like rollerblading, basketball, right? Bowling is cool. Hockey is tough. You know, you got to have a special love for that and have a desire to do it. I tried hockey one time. Almost, I can't skate. It hurts my feet and I fall down. But besides that, I almost impaled myself with a hockey stick and skewered my guts. You need downtime. Doing nothing is actually doing something, right? You cannot not, just as you cannot not communicate, doing nothing is doing something when you are an empowered person, because you're so busy, active, and doing things you love that you need some downtime. We all need this. It could be 20 minutes, an hour, a day, whatever you can arrange that works for you. Because what works for you doesn't work for me or anybody else. Finding your space, it's a spiritual thing. Creating your world, it's a spiritual thing. This is your time, which cannot be violated, intruded, or infringed upon. And most importantly, neglected. There are no distractions, delays, and interruptions. In business, the rule is to pay yourself first, then take care of everybody else. The same theory applies here. Use your downtime and you will feel great. You will energize yourself. You will enhance your world. You will enlighten your being. And you will get back to doing the things that you love to do and accomplish more than you ever thought possible. You need give back time. There's no greater feeling in the world than the good feelings you get when someone says to you, I appreciate what you did for me. Or I appreciate what you did with me. Remember, when people are in your life and they're doing things with you and for you, that's cool. Someone's in your life doing things to you, not so cool. Get rid of them. They're the bullies. They're the ones that are going to end up doing things not only to you, but to others around. We need to get them away from mainstream people who want to do good for themselves, right? So get off your seat, read to kids, visit senior centers, work at a hospital, serve a meal, collect clothes and give them away, coach a team, serve your community, participate at your house of worship or anything you choose to do because you want to do it from your heart. Do something for someone else and you will be rich. And in turn, they will do something for someone else and so on and so on, right? So give back time, whatever you want to call it, community service, but do something, volunteer, charity, whatever it is. Right? Do something for someone else and you're doing more for yourself. These two we've mentioned before. Religion, you need one. Religion gives you customs, traditions, folklore, history, stories, language, celebrations, socialization, observances, music, culture, clothing, food, and 1,000 other things that will enhance the quality of your life. Friendly, familiar faces with similar interests, providing a place to worship, pray, learn, and grow. Keep an open mind, and you will grow even more. Because your religion isn't for everybody, if you have one. And one of the problems, I've never seen so many, if you study a little history, and I've studied just what I know about history, like art and music, with Echo and the Thimble, but how many lives have been destroyed, ruined, eliminated, exterminated from the world in past decades and centuries in the name of religion? What the heck is that about? Keep an open mind. When you're filled with hate, you have a closed mind and you're going nowhere and you're going to bring down people because you're bringing down yourself. You're so miserable in your world that you actually believe all the stuff that's preached to you when the purpose of religion is to love, isn't it? I don't know. I just read something that is not too happy, but there's another scandal. I'll save the scandals for next week because I want to get moving with this. So you need religion in your life. As I said before, if you move from town A to town B, first thing you're going to do is get the kids signed up in school and join a house of worship, right? So what? You can meet like-kind people. Spirituality. In the spiritual world, unlike religion, you define the rules. You set the parameters and include the ideals and values which have previously left you empty, unsatisfied, and unfulfilled. The spiritual person celebrates every day. Not because it is convenient and you get a three-day weekend, but because life is to be celebrated every day. We just had Martin Luther King's birthday holiday, even though his birthday was like a week ago, and it was a good excuse for people, or excuse or reason, I'm not sure, I'm divided on that. Because remember, excuses define failure, reasons explain success. So it's a good time for stores to offer 50, 60, and 70% off and people to have a day off of work. I'm not sure how much observation of the person takes place in that. In certain communities it does, and on the news they get a little mention of it. Giving thanks and praying on a regularly scheduled timetable is fine, but the spiritual person knows when the time is proper and needs only to look inside himself or herself for answers, guidance, and blessing. That's all you got to do is look inside. It's all there. It's within you. If you don't look, you won't find. Creativity. Allow yourself the space to create. Give yourself permission to express yourself, your feelings, emotions, sensitivities in your heart. I have very little creativity, but I do know what gives me creative pleasure, and that is seeing the talented, skilled, gifted, and blessed use those tools to create beauty that can be appreciated by the masses. Remember, from their pain comes beauty. And as I said before, always, always, always thank the creative folks for allowing you to visit the place where they live. Thank them, because it is well worth it. Without them, we have no place to go, nothing to look at, nothing to appreciate, no beauty in art or music or sport or anything, right? One thing about religion, I'm not done sinning, so why start praying, right? Don't want to be a hypocrite about it, but when you look at it, you know, if you're going to sin on Friday or Saturday, I mean, you're going to pray on Friday or Saturday or Sunday and go out and sin the next day, what are you doing, right? You're perpetuating the myth. Oh, boy. Let's see. We talked about that. We talked about that. Let's get to boredom. We have a couple minutes left. Got about a minute to go. Remember, boredom is the enemy of us all. And when you're bored, you're going down. You got to have some kind of structure. You have to have something to do, a place to go, people to be with. You have to let yourself, allow yourself, give yourself permission to do things other than your daily, maybe mundane routine that gets you in a rut, that takes you out of a place where you might want to go. You have to take a risk. You have to be a little bit adventuresome. You have to get up, get out, and get going. And if you don't do it, your kids won't do it. You are the role model for your kids, right? And if we don't have good role models for our kids, what do they have? We have to get them away from the world that we've allowed them to continue to perpetuate, which is antisocial, which gives them no self-worth outside of conquering a game, right? Which is all good for entertainment, but the world is much more than that. They have to entertain their soul, not their time. They have to make time their friend and use it, just like you do and I do, and everyone has to have time to do things. The greatest gift you can give is time, right? The kids don't need a lollipop. They don't need another goodie bag. They don't need another trophy for showing up in a uniform. They need your time. Time for you to do things with them and for them, to show them and teach them and guide them and lead them and inspire them to become empowered to accomplish more than they ever thought possible. And it all starts in the youth. And if you're not a youth, if you're a little older than a kid, then the time for you to start is now. Set yourself a goal. What did you do for yourself this week, right? Did you go anywhere? Did you do anything? Did you accomplish anything? Or did you just do the same old thing? Set your sights on something and you will accomplish, as I always say, more than you ever thought possible. This is Marty Ford, live on bbsradio.com. The name of the show is You Bout Ready. Listen to my previous shows by going to www.bbsradio.com/You Bout Ready. Signing off with our usual power up your power, because the power is in you.